Talk radio for Catholic life to start your day.
Morning Air
on Relevant Radio with Glenn Leverenz. Here's your host, John Harper.
Good morning. 3 minutes after the hour, Monday, May 24th, 2021, the memorial of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the mother of the church. And on this Monday after Pentecost, it's also the feast of Mary, help of Christians and filled with the Holy Spirit. Coming up, you're going to hear one person's journey into the church 7 years ago on Pentecost Sunday. It's a personal miracle moment. You'll want to hear it coming up in the next 15 minutes on Morning Air. Also, with Sunday obligation returning to many dioceses across the country, the importance of actually being at Mass in person and physically receiving the sacraments. We'll talk about that. Glenn's got a fresh story corner first off on this Monday morning that we begin in prayer, and we invite you to join us for the morning offering. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Jesus, through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I offer you my prayers, works, joys, and sufferings of this day for all the intentions of your Sacred Heart in union with the holy sacrifice of the Mass throughout the world, for the salvation of souls, the reparation of sins, the reunion of all Christians, and in particular for the intentions of the Holy Father this month. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Four after the hour now on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Well, here comes summer vacation for your children. After a year of mostly remote learning from home, is that the situation in your family? And with all of the sacrifices that you and your children had to make in the last year, the temptation, of course, is just, hey, let's sit around and recharge all summer long. Some of that might be okay, but what about some alternatives to just sitting around that really will recharge your kids? On many different levels, Ann Flynn is joining us this morning. She's got more than two decades of experience in education and a second grade teacher at St. Charles Borromeo School in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Ann, good morning. I've done my homework, so I should be okay for first period later on. How are you?
Good morning. I am doing very well. Thank you very much. We're winding down. The countdown has begun.
What's that like for a teacher? What's that like for a teacher when you know that we know what it's like from sitting in the desks because, boy, you're counting every second. But what's it like for the teacher?
I think we're counting faster. No, I'm kidding. We're just as aware because we have a lot of work to do, you know, to prepare for the following year already.
Right,
we are focusing on those kinds of things. Meetings have already begun for what next year is going to look like. So it doesn't really ever end. People think, you know, oh, teachers have summer off. No, we don't.
Right.
Far from it, I'm afraid. But the kids are excited. We started a countdown chain and they are definitely ready. You can tell when they've kind of checked out, so to speak. But that doesn't mean that the learning is stopped. Actually, it's been a great time. It's a great time right now to watch. This is my favorite time of year because you get to kind of sit back, relax, take a breath, and watch your achievements and their achievements and how the Holy Spirit has moved through them, through all the sacramentals. And it's a beautiful thing this time of year. I really enjoy it.
I recall, Anne, from our last conversation at St. Charles Borromeo in Minneapolis, you had in-person learning all during the year. For a lot of families hearing our conversation this morning on Relevant Radio, they have been in a distance learning mode or a hybrid mode where there's been some at home, some in school. With that crazy hybrid that so many of us have been living with for the last year, what should or should not the kids do this summer to recharge but still stay energized?
Right. I think that in order to do this, they should detach from that computer. I think way too much time is being spent on those screens. I think we can all agree on that. The problem is, how do you change that? You know, how do you get them out of, you know, habits really develop very quickly? We know this because of Lent being 40 days. Can you imagine there are 170 days now in school of that they've built up this habit now of getting on the screen right away in the morning and staying on it for the bulk of the day.
Mm-hmm.
So getting them to detach from that screen, and it may have to come in small steps. You know, okay, we're going to take off this hour from this time to this time. We're going to go outside and other places to learn. I mean, this is the other thing, too, is getting them out of their current place and getting into a change of venue, even just going to the library.
Right.
Even if they do screen time at the library, it's a different venue. We can limit it, and then we can also be looking for books. You know, a lot of libraries have fabulous summer programs for kids where they encourage reading and offer sometimes rewards. I remember my son many years ago ending up getting a Razor scooter for just reading a few books. I mean, how great is that? So there are some places, some great children's programs, even some bookstores, you know, regular brick-and-mortar bookstores
offer
some sort of those.
What about faith-based education to keep the kids focused on their faith during the summer? I'm a product of Catholic schools, and one of the last things Sister would always say is, remember, it's no vacation from going to church. And of course, we never did have that vacation from going to church. In fact, it was a completely different experience going in the summer for me growing up. But how do we keep the kids focused on their faith over the summer break?
Well, that's actually a parent-driven thing, I think. You know, the kids are going to pick up on what you are doing. They're sponges. So they are going to see what you're doing. If you're not reading the Bible, if you're not spending time in silence and adoration, whether it's at home or in the actual adoration chapel at your church, then they're not going to want to do it. I think this really, I almost hate to say it, but this is a big, huge parental problem that we need to show the kids. They learn mostly from osmosis when it comes to, especially the littles, but even our teenagers, they're going to pick up our habits. And if they see us always on our phone and always doing other things or watching television, they are going to do the same thing. We can't expect them to do, you know, do as I say, not as I do kind of a thing.
Right.
So realistically, a lot of this hinges on what the parents are willing to do. And during the summer, with parents, you know, still maybe needing to either get back to work or working, even from home, maybe grandma and grandpa can pick up the slack, or a neighbor, or contact your church youth group, because they may have a great program or have people that can help, too. They will have the contact information that you might need to maybe hook up with a elderly person in your neighborhood or in your parish community that would be, might be willing to sit down and help you. And don't take out official tutoring, you know, an actual tutor that could help your child as well. Even if it's just for a couple of hours a week, that could be really a positive experience for some kids to be out of the home, in someone else's home or at a coffee shop or anywhere, and just sit down and have a conversation with an adult.
Absolutely. On Morning Air, we're giving you some alternatives to just sitting around all summer, especially for the kids. Ann Flynn is a second grade teacher at St. Charles Borromeo School in Minneapolis, Minnesota. I've probably told this story too many times on the air, but I must have been 10 or 11 years old. It was a hot, humid August day, and I was complaining to my mom about 1:30 in the afternoon, "Mom, I'm bored." And she said, with the perfect delivery of any mom that you would see in a situation comedy, Ann, she said, "Well, you could always pray." Obviously, I never forgot that. And to this day, when there's some idle time or you're just feeling down, it's that little voice, "Oh, you can always pray." And I do.
Yes, prayer is so vital for these kids. But that gets back to that whole idea of having some silence. Now, of course, this can be kind of tricky for little people in that they may or may not see silence as a time as being punished or as a timeout. So to make that special, you could even maybe light a candle. Not that we want to add to that hot and humid day, but lighting a candle or having a special place in the home that's reserved for this, playing some soft music, doing some spiritual reading together, those kinds of things can help with dividing up the day and also bringing in your spirituality and helping foster that and those moments and taking, and then also just throughout the day, you know, you're going for a walk with your child. You say, "Oh my gosh, look at how creative God is. Look at this flower." Or, "Have you ever sat and watched this anthill? Isn't this fascinating? Look what God has done." And putting those little spiritual moments in place as you do normal everyday things.
It's funny you mentioned that because I'm going over to Glenn's house today to look at his ant farm. So it's funny that you mentioned that. To talk about the Holy Spirit at work here in the conversation and some great solutions. And we're hopeful that you have a great summer as well. Some alternatives to just sitting around all summer. And we're hopeful that we've given you some solutions. Anne has got more than 20 years experience in education. She's a second grade teacher at St. Charles Borromeo School in Minneapolis. And a good morning to all the young men and women in the second grade and all the students at St. Charles Borromeo listening to us on Relevant Radio 13th. And thanks and God bless.
Thank you. You too. Those littles are going to be saying the memorari for you today.
Okay, that's great. Thank you so much. It's 13 after on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Yes, Glenn's got a fresh story corner that's coming up in this hour. And also, with the Sunday obligation returning to so many dioceses across the country, the importance of actually attending the Mass in person and receiving the sacraments physically. This was the weekend in our diocese where if you had both vaccinations, you could take off the mask, singing returned, and for a Pentecost Sunday, it was just a magnificent, not only liturgical, but spiritual experience for a congregation. And we're back to like pre-pandemic numbers already in our parish. We'll share some of the stories coming up a little bit later on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. And of course, we've been talking about the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives and the importance of Pentecost. And you know, there's Christmas, there's Easter, and there's Pentecost. Boy, that's our big three in our church calendar. And we're hopeful it is for you as well. Laura DeMaria is a member of our Morning Family. She's a nonprofit management professional and writer living in Washington, D.C. She's also a revert to her faith, and we've talked about that reversion so many times, and the Holy Spirit is front and center in that reversion, and Laura's joining us this morning here on Morning Air on Relevant Radio to tell us about that experience of reverting back to her faith. Laura, good morning. Welcome back.
Good morning. Great to be with you.
For you, it happened on Pentecost. Tell me the story.
It did. So Pentecost is a very special day to me for that reason. So it was in June of 2014, and I'm in the Diocese of Arlington in Northern Virginia, so St. Thomas More Cathedral, and Bishop Laverty at the time. We have a new bishop now. So he, you know, he was the one there to bring me into the church. But, you know, a lot happened before then. The culmination of coming into the church, as many of our listeners, I'm sure, know, it's a series of life decisions and things that you can control and can't control. And for me, it was actually the realization that there are a lot of things in my life that I can't control that really brought me back into the faith. And it was a beautiful thing. And as I have shared on your show before, coming back into the Catholic faith in my late 20s as an adult and like, you know, by my own choice, has been a huge deal in my life and really changed the trajectory of my life.
Was it a gradual process for you, Laura, or did you have one of those, as we often say, Holy Spirit whack on the side of the head moments?
It was a gradual thing. I think the Holy Spirit whack in the head happened after I was confirmed and, okay, and really realized what I was getting myself into and how good it was. Yeah, for me, it was, so my background, you know, going back into childhood, I come from a family of Catholics, and I had received First Communion and or baptism and First Communion. So I had the first two sacraments, you know, in the life of the Catholic Church. But then my family kind of was lukewarm. You know, we lived in an area where there weren't many other Catholics. The Catholic Church itself was not particularly active, and going to church was not something that I enjoyed or that I really wanted to do as a kid and growing up through high school and college. And so I was relieved when our family just kind of stopped going and would just go on the holidays, basically Christmas and Easter. But I always had a real strong interest in the spiritual life and explored other faith traditions. And I suppose I could consider myself one of those spiritual but not religious people. You know, there's a lot of those in the world. So I was one of those. And then as I grew up and sort of learned more about life, I guess you could say, you know, had things in my life go differently than I thought, in particular in that year leading up to when I was confirmed. I graduated from a grad school program. I moved. I got a new roommate. Just a lot of things changed in my life and in ways that I didn't expect or couldn't control. And so I just had this moment of, I don't actually know what I'm doing. You know, yeah. I'm I think that I have control over my own life and the plan that I want to create for myself. And I'm realizing that that's not the case. And maybe I should, you know, go back to church and kind of try to understand what it is that I am being called to and what's being asked of me.
I was just mentioning that if you're just joining our conversation here, it's Laura DeMaria joining us from Washington, D.C., and you've heard her talk about so many topics concerning the faith. And today she's talking about her personal faith, her reversion back to the faith on Pentecost Sunday in 2014. What would you tell, now that you know what you know today and the Holy Spirit is at work in your life, what would you tell the old Laura DeMaria about your faith?
I would say that it is very different than what my impression was. You know, unfortunately, I grew up with, as many have, this impression that Catholicism is, you know, patriarchal, old-fashioned, irrelevant, all of this, the sort of tropes that you hear about what the faith is. And nothing could be further from the truth, because the thing, it isn't even what drew me to the faith, but it's what has kept me there. And what just continues to amaze me is that perfectly understands the human person. Yeah. So at that time, I was in a time in my life where, you know, the most fun was to go out on weekends and drink too much and kind of live in that way. And I just had this feeling of there's got to be more to life than that. And there is. And that's why the church is so eternal, because it offers us a real look at who we are, how God loves us, and what we're capable of. And so, you know, thanks be to God, he allowed me the grace to see that and to experience that and to receive that, you know, to be open to that and to realize that rather than the church being this thing that says, these are the things that you can't do, mm-hmm. it's saying, I want to show you how there's something else that's going to make you happy. And it's living in a way that is in alignment with what God wants for you. I mean, in a technical way, we could say when you turn away from sin, you know, that's why the church has all these rules and stuff. It's not to control you. It's to show you how sin is not going to make you happy. But it's bigger than that. You know, it's about God's love, and it's about right. his vision for us as people.
When you have these moments of reversion, Laura, the natural tendency is, and it's a good one, and it's interesting that we're having this conversation the day after Pentecost, where there go the apostles with great conviction to preach the good news of the gospel. You want to share that good news with others, and it should be shared. When you shared the news of your reversion with your family members, what did they say?
For the most part, it was a positive reception. I have some family members who themselves are very devout in the faith and some who aren't, but at the same time can appreciate it. You know, I think that there's what's interesting about Catholicism, unless you just had a very, very bad experience with it. But even if you're someone who doesn't go to church anymore, when you hear about someone else coming into the faith, there's kind of this acknowledgement or recognition. Right. So, you know, you've mentioned I work in a nonprofit. I have a membership that I work with. And I would speak with my members about, oh, this is something that I did recently. You know, I became mm-hmm. confirmed. And even those who were no longer practicing Catholics were really happy for me. And it kind of makes me think, well, if you're happy about it, maybe go back to church also, you know, join me in this. And I make a point of whenever I meet someone who is a fallen away Catholic or a lapsed Catholic, just to, you know, gently invite them to come to church with me or, you know, ask them what it was like in their childhood going to church, that sort of thing, because I think there is a great beauty in it. And we can lose sight of that if we become overly concerned with the rules and with the this or that, I feel like I'm being judged or something. When in reality, it's nothing could be further from the truth. You know, it's always the right. invitation is always there from God to come back to the faith, come back to the church.
Laura DeMaria, your reversion to the faith happened 7 years ago on Pentecost Sunday. We're just coming off celebrating Pentecost. What is that like for you now to go back on Pentecost Sunday, really at any time? With that mm-hmm. foretaste of heaven when we celebrate the holy sacrifice of the Mass, but for you especially on Pentecost.
Yeah, it's really humbling, John. It's humbling because I feel like it's almost like I'm one of the lucky ones because
mm-hmm. What do you mean by that?
Because I was in a place in time and apparently was open enough, receptive enough to what God was calling me to. And I understand a lot of things a lot better now. Like I don't understand life perfectly or anything, but I think I have fewer questions than a lot of my peers do about what the purpose of life is. But that's not because I'm particularly smart or, you know, or something, it's because I sought that, you know, because I am open to it. And so it's humbling to think, you know, thank God I was in the right place at the right time and started to go to daily mass and learned how to pray the rosary and never thought, great, now I'm embarking on this great journey and I'm going to get to know Jesus really well. It was more just like there are just these little nudges in the right direction that all culminated in my receiving confirmation and coming back into the church. And then, but that wasn't the end of the story. You know, instead that was just the beginning. And life is this wonderful journey with Jesus. You know, I think John Paul II talked a lot about that, how life is basically a great adventure with Jesus because suddenly you realize why you were made and that you do have a purpose and that there is more to life than just working and just fulfilling, you know, the pleasures of life, which are wonderful and which are good, but they all have a purpose and they all need to be ordered to God.
There's a fine line that you walk in the reversion, I'm sure, Laura, between feeling so confident about your faith and your growing romance with Jesus that you can almost become arrogant about your faith, as mm-hmm. opposed to making it magnetic. People being attracted to you because of the light of Christ that's coming through you. How do you manage that?
Yeah, you know, I imagine that a lot of the original apostles probably had that. I mean, you're walking around raising the dead and speaking in lots of languages and things.
Pretty heady stuff.
Yes, right. So I think the thing to remember is that anything that you have is a gift from God, and that includes any knowledge of Him. And if you happen to be someone who is predisposed to loving the Lord and kind of understanding that, then that means that it is your obligation to share that with others. Well, and not an obligation, but also should be your pleasure in life, basically, mm-hmm. to do. I'm trying to think of what the word would be. It's a gift, you know, and so it's therefore it's something to be shared rather than something to be held over someone. And the other thing is, and I've learned this a lot through my work with the Legion of Mary. So I've spoken many times on your show about the Legion of Mary because I think it's such a wonderful thing. You meet people who are very spiritually advanced, but they are not spiritually advanced in a glamorous way. So in the Legion of Mary, you do a lot of work, say, in prisons and nursing homes with people who are homebound because they're blind or disabled, whatever the case is. And you will meet these people who have just profound interior lives. And you may think to yourself, well, I listen to all the right podcasts and I go to mass every week and I do this and that. When in reality, there's constantly the opportunity to learn from those around you and from their spiritual lives and from their experiences. So just because you have some kind of particular gift does not mean that every single person around you that you meet doesn't as well.
Thanks be to God that the Holy Spirit intervened in your life and the Holy Spirit is there for all of us. And thanks for sharing that reversion story, because I'm sure you've placed the seeds of the Holy Spirit in many of our Relevant Radio listeners this morning. Laura DeMaria, nonprofit management professional and writer living in Metro Washington, D.C., a revert to the faith and telling her reversion story. Much more, not only about spiritual study, but prayer, but how you and I can live our Catholic faith every single day in this culture online at lauradeMaria.com. lauradeMaria.com. Laura, thanks. God bless. Thanks for sharing the story.
Great to be with you. Thank you.
Still to come this morning, with the Sunday obligation being lifted in so many dioceses across the country, why it's important for you to physically be back in church and physically receive the sacraments. Plus, Glenn's got a fresh story corner that's all coming up. Our time now is 26 after on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Cults, moral depravity. Coming this Monday to Relevant Radio. Saints in Sin City. Saints in Sin City. Starring St. Paul and narrated by Canadian sensation Cale Clark.
I'm not so sure about the whole sensation thing, but I am sure of this. You can join me for an in-depth look at 1 Corinthians beginning Monday at 12:30 p.m. Central. It's The Faith Explained on Relevant Radio, and you can catch anything you've missed in the podcast on the Relevant Radio app.
Hello, Father James Kubicki here, and in 2018, Pope Francis instituted the feast that we're celebrating today. We honor the Blessed Virgin Mary under the title Mother of the Church, a title that Pope St. Paul VI used. And it makes sense that we would celebrate the day after Pentecost, the birthday of the Church, in honor of the one who gave birth to Christ and cared for him with motherly affection and shed motherly tears for him as he hung dying on the cross. On the cross, Jesus turned to his closest friend, John, and, indicating his mother Mary, said to him, "Behold your mother." We see ourselves, the church, represented by John at that moment, and we hear Jesus tell us as well, "Behold your mother." As she brought forth the body of Jesus from her womb and nurtured him, so she now cares for the body of Christ, which is the church. Let's conclude our daily reflection now with a prayer that Pope Francis wrote to Mary, Mother of the Church. Mother, help our faith. Open our ears to hear God's word and to recognize his voice and call. Awaken in us a desire to follow in his footsteps and to receive his promise. Help us to be touched by his love, that we may touch him in faith. Help us to entrust ourselves fully to him and to believe in his love, especially at times of trial beneath the shadow of the cross when our faith is called to mature. So, in our faith, the joy of the risen one, remind us that those who believe are never alone. Teach us to see all things with the eyes of Jesus, that he may be light for our path. And may this light of faith always increase in us until the dawn of that undying day, which is Christ himself, your Son, our Lord.
Here's another way you can support Relevant Radio. Transfer a gift of long-term, owned for more than a year, appreciated stocks. Doing so can provide significant tax advantages by allowing you to deduct the fair market value while paying no capital gain tax. Call our accounting department for more information. 877-291-0123 or go to relevantradio.com and click on the support tab. Thank you for bringing Christ to the world through the media. Relevant Radio.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
On Monday morning, it's Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app on this Monday after Pentecost. The dispensation from attending Sunday Mass and Holy Days of Obligation was lifted in our diocese this weekend. And thanks be to God, at the 4 o'clock Vigil Mass, the place was packed. And it was great to see all of the ropes down. There was still that social distancing when you went up to communion. You could receive communion at the rail again. And the Holy Spirit was just at work. You talk about tongues of fire. The place was just absolutely on fire with the Spirit. And you just floated out of that church on Saturday afternoon. At least I did. And I'm hopeful you did as well. When with that Sunday obligation returning to so many dioceses around the country, the importance of physically attending Mass, if you can do so, and of course, physically receiving the sacraments. Let's talk about that with Father Timothy Graff, who's the director of the Social Concerns Office and the director of government relations in the Archdiocese of Newark. Father Graff, good morning. Welcome back.
Good morning, John. Good being with you.
Is the dispensation lifted in the Archdiocese of Newark?
It will be in 2 weeks. It's Corpus Christi. Yes. So we're coming to that.
Mm-hmm.
But we've certainly seen an uptick in the numbers of people that are coming back to Eucharist. We really saw that Palm Sunday and Easter for sure, and it's been growing. So I've seen people that I haven't seen in over a year, and it's just so good to see them back with us.
And it really is our responsibility, me telling my story, as I just did a couple of minutes ago here on Morning Air, to somebody else, because that was a very profound spiritual experience for me, and some good news. Good news as we start to slowly emerge from the pandemic.
It is, you know, it's, you know, of course, foremost in our minds that we still keep people safe. So I know in my own diocese in New Jersey, we're still practicing social distancing. We're still going to be masked, you know, but as we go forward, we'll sort of see how it is that people feel comfortable coming back. And, but it's just it's a profound moment, as you said, for people who sort of emerge after sort of the long hibernation, as my cardinal called it, our long Eucharistic fast,
yeah,
which hopefully is coming to an end.
And I suppose the best way is to simply share your story as opposed to putting the guilt trip of, why aren't you coming back to Mass? Come on, the pandemic's over.
Yeah, you know, I think everyone has their own story. Everyone has their own experience. But I think the word that I always keep in mind is that I'm encountering the Lord in a new way or in a deeper way, you know, because it's, you know, we as individuals and we as a church, we as parishes, we're not just going back to where we were, you know, 15 months ago. Right. You know, this is new. This is a new time. You know, it's a new experience. So it's the sharing of, you know, it was so good being back at Mass. It was so good receiving the Eucharist. It was so good being with my community. It was so good seeing people again. You know, and it's just the sharing of that experience, because that's what's going to encourage people to come back. You know, that's what's going to encourage people to say, well, you know, I heard John talk about his experience at liturgy, you know, and seeing people and all those good, simple things. And it's just meant to encourage others to experience the same. You know, they might need that extra push.
Right.
You know, because a lot of us have gotten very comfortable, you know, watching the Eucharist, the live stream from our parishes, which have been such a blessing for us, you know, to keeping in touch with people. But it's not the same as being in person, especially in the reception of the Lord's the Lord's body.
Father Tim Graff joining us from the Archdiocese of Newark this morning here on Morning Air. And we're talking about the importance of physically being back in Mass and, of course, physically receiving the sacraments. And what was it like for you? 888-914-9149. Perhaps you were still doing that, I'm coining a phrase here, the distance worship, because so many of us were watching via YouTube. But now the dispensation perhaps has been lifted in your diocese and you went physically back to Mass, physically receiving the sacraments. What was it like for you? Especially on Pentecost Sunday. I'd like to share your stories this morning. 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Father Graff, we've heard so many times, oh, if we could only get back to the normal. What's the new normal? What should be the new normal in parish communities coming out of the pandemic? So we just don't go back to where we were 16 months ago. What are the opportunities the parishes have?
Well, I think we've seen a lot of creativity in a lot of our parishes in my own diocese. You know, we had a pastor who was assigned and the church closed down before he even was there for a weekend. And so what he did was he individually called every parishioner, every family in the parish.
Wow.
You know, and what that was so uplifting for me is it showed, you know, we are needing to relate to each other differently than we have been. So I think we might see a couple different ways of that being expressed in our parishes. Certainly we've seen that in our faith formation programs, you know, where a lot of them have gone online, you know, by Zoom, doing work in between. And, you know, I think we'll see some combination of in-person and online as our faith formation moves forward for both our children and for adults. You know, what I've seen on some of the Zoom meetings that I've had is I've probably had more people at some of them than I would have had if we had it in person in normal times.
Sure.
Because it's easier, you know, and you're including people who may be working late or you may be people who have childcare issues. So I think that's part of it. I think part of it is also, you know, the ability to reach people in other ways than the bulletin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I've seen a great upsweep in the use of the parish webpage, really being the portal to the parish for so many people. And so not only, you know, this is what's going on at St. Mary's, but people are putting up videos of Bishop Barron, or they're putting up videos of their own pastor talking, or they're putting up videos from formed.org, you know, which some parishes are taking advantage of. There's so much good faith formation program out there that can be shared online, either for your individual you know, spiritual growth or gathering together as a small group doing a Bible study. You know, so there's just been so much creativity, you know, and it's, we're not going to go back to the way it was. I mean, there will be certain aspects for sure. that endure, which have served us well and will continue to serve us. But there's a whole new creativity that I see from so many people and a whole level of commitment that I've just been so, so impressed by.
You know, when you talk about that creativity of now that we're lifting Sunday obligation and getting back into the in-person worship and the in-person participation in our parish communities, and looking back over the last 16 months, and I've told these stories on the air very early into the pandemic when the churches were physically closed, I went to drive-through confessions. There was another parish in the community in which I live where they were doing confessions at noon. Drove down to that parish, and Father was sitting on the guardrail in the parking lot hearing confessions. I sat on a guardrail in a parking lot and heard confessions. But in those different physical settings, it made that sacrament a little deeper and more meaningful for me.
Yes, because we can become almost routine in the way we see the sacraments. You know, we sort of go to reconciliation and we sort of say the same things that we've said, and Father says the same things that he says, and we know there's a grace there, yeah. But it becomes almost routine, you know. But when we're sort of forced into something different, it sort of makes us think about, you know, well, what's a sacrament? You know, whether it's going through drive-through reconciliation, you know. But remember, you have to be very careful. I know a number of people went to confession at a Dunkin' Donuts drive-thru.
You can't do that. And no.
Yeah.
My easy pass didn't work either. So so you got to watch
there's
that.
There's a homily in there somewhere.
There probably is.
There's something in there.
There's a homily in there somewhere, John.
Yeah.
Look forward to that next Sunday with Father Tim Graff. Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, it really does make you think more about your faith. And that's one of the blessings that we take out of the pandemic. In addition to, as you were mentioning, more parish communities embracing the technology to reach out to people who probably would not, as you say, be there in person, or maybe walked away from their faith and in the safety of the technology from their home and the intimacy of their home. That's a way to develop that intimacy with the Holy Spirit.
Yes, you know, because sometimes during the pandemic, people could focus so much on what they weren't experiencing. Yeah. You know, I can't go to church, or I can't receive the Eucharist as I prefer, or all those things, that they missed the grace of the pandemic. You know, that somehow God's grace was limited by, you know, what we thought he should be doing. You know, rather than saying, okay, Lord, I may not be experiencing your grace in the usual way that I'm used to experiencing it, but what is the grace you're holding out to me now? What is your grace that you're holding out to me in this time? You know, because God's grace was not limited by the pandemic. He didn't say, okay, well, you know, check back with me in 14 months when I can be with you again. Mm-hmm. God is always with us, you know, and so it may be a challenge, it may be different, but we can say, Lord, what is the grace that you're giving me today?
And sometimes you could even take the Eucharist for granted. Case in point, this is a few weeks into the pandemic, Father Graff, as we talk about emerging from the pandemic and living our faith in a more demonstrative way here on Morning Air. Got together with my spiritual director. Offices are in the basement of the church. And I said, Father, if you don't mind, could you give me Eucharist? Now, it was probably about 3 weeks since we were able mm-hmm. to physically go to Mass. And he said, mm-hmm. yeah, but we have to do it a different way because there are 24/7 webcams we stream on the web in our parish. Right. So he takes me through the bowels of the church. I have never been through some of these narrow, dark staircases that lead up into the sacristy. And he says, stay here, because if someone's watching and they see me giving you Eucharist on camera, that may be a little difficult. And at that very moment, it was like, wow, not that I took the Eucharist for granted, but maybe I did from time to time. But I also thought about those who are persecuted. And when you think back to some of our ancestors who had to receive Eucharist in the most clandestine ways during World War II, or even today, it really grounds you in your faith. It's like, wow, what do I have to do to earn this? What do I have to do to love you back a little bit more, Jesus?
Yeah, that's a great example of one of the graces of the pandemic. You know, where we've just, you know, that which we do take the Eucharist for granted. You know, we don't receive it with a reverence that we know that we should, just because it comes routine, you know? And so I've seen this in the people who've been away and come back. You know, they feel safe. And, you know, and they haven't received the Eucharist in a long time. And maybe they didn't even realize it when they weren't receiving the Eucharist. But now that they do, they remember how it is that it makes them feel. What a blessing, what a grace that it is in their lives. You know, the old line, absence makes the heart grow fonder. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's very real in our experience of the Eucharist these days.
We're hopeful that you can return to your parish community as the Sunday obligation is lifted. The dispensation from Sunday obligation is lifted in so many dioceses across the country. Father Tim Graff is the Director of Social Concerns and the Director of Government Relations in the Archdiocese of Newark. Thanks, Father Tim.
You're welcome. It's always good to be with you.
And I'll look forward to that Easy Pass homily in the next couple of weeks. Thank you, Father Tim. We appreciate it. It's 17 before now on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. 50 days after Easter, celebrating the Pentecost and the gift of the Holy Spirit in our homily highlights and a fresh Glenn Story Corner next on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Hi, this is Patrick Madrid. Please join Relevant Radio in our hourly Memorare campaign for an end to abortion and the protection of all human life from conception to natural death. Our next goal is 400 million memorares. Add your memorare for life at relevantradio.com.
Hi, this is Bishop Ron Hicks of the Diocese of Joliet in Illinois. Let us pray. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession, was left unaided. Inspired with this confidence, I flee to thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee do I come. Before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
Underwriting by Catholic Order of Foresters.
Is there something you can do today to protect your family's future if something happens to you? With a flexible premium life insurance policy from Catholic Order of Foresters, you can protect your family from the financial stress of unexpected loss. For less than $14 a month, a 40-year-old can get $500,000 of coverage. Call Mark today at 855-696-2085 to find the flexible option that suits you. Or go to relevantradio.com/Forester.
Supported by the University of Mary.
When the pandemic forced me out of a job, I took it as an opportunity to advance my career and also strengthen my faith. So I enrolled in one of the University of Mary's amazing new online degree programs. Investing in my education will benefit me for life, a life of service to God and others.
See how the University of Mary's truly affordable, truly flexible, and truly formative online degree programs can benefit you. CatholicProfessional.life.
Hi, Patrick Madrid here. I know you're busy, you got stuff to do every day, you got a lot of things competing for your attention, but don't forget, I'm here for you 3 hours a day, Monday through Friday. Think of it as our own personal breakfast club. We get into all kinds of issues that really matter. Everything from technology to current events to social issues, moral issues, God topics, Bible topics, you name it, we cover it on the Patrick Madrid Show. 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 a.m. Pacific, right here on Relevant Radio.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio Line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Insight into Sunday's readings and gospel, inspiration for today and beyond. Now, homily highlights on Morning Air.
13 before the hour, happy birthday to the church. 50 days after Easter, Pentecost Sunday, the apostles begin with great conviction that they can preach the news that Jesus is, that he is Jesus. And that's the commission that you and I both have in this homily highlight from Bishop David Zubik at St. Paul's Cathedral in the Diocese of Pittsburgh. What Pentecost should be for us if you and I are to be the disciples of today.
I know there are things that I still have to be able to take and give over and to put in the wounds of Jesus' hands to get rid of those things in my life. And you know what they are in yours. We've got to do something about it to make sure that our voices are heard, loud and clear, without any embarrassment whatsoever, that we in fact are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And just as the apostles following the great event of Pentecost left that upper room never to return again, they went out into the streets and proclaimed the truth. True then and true now and true forever, Jesus Christ is in fact our Savior. He is the Savior of the world. And he shows his wounded side and wounded hands to all of us as an invitation that we must in fact find our voice by the power of the Holy Spirit. But before we can do that, we've got to give over to the Lord those things that stand in the way of our doing so. That people may in fact see Jesus Christ in us by the ways in which we not only show but live. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Happy birthday to us as church. May we celebrate it the best way we know how. To give over to the Lord what does not belong within us and receive the Spirit who helps us as disciples of the Lord to really find our voice.
Pentecost, this is our feast, a gathering of unity for you and me as Catholics, in this homily highlight from Bishop Robert Reed in the Archdiocese of Boston.
But for us today, that inspiration of the Holy Spirit is witnessed in the sacrifices so many made over the past more than a year now for the sake of safety, that of your family and the wider community. The Holy Spirit is discovered in the journey of marriage and in the persistent dedication and tough love that parents show to their kids. We witness the gentle power of the Spirit and the way young people consciously commit themselves to the Catholic faith, and in the many good works that are done for the poor and the struggling. My point is, this is our feast, Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Advocate. The Holy Spirit of God can be found gently living among and within us. We have only to look. The riches of God are immense, immeasurable. No book, no set of books can contain them. But we celebrate those gifts, this church, today.
And on this Monday after the Pentecost, think about the work of the Holy Spirit in you. Father Richard Mullins is the pastor of St. Thomas the Apostle Parish in Washington, D.C.
Famous Jesuit poet Hopkins, Gerard Manley Hopkins, wrote a beautiful poem called God's Grandeur. And the last line of the poem is simply, "The Holy Ghost over the bent world broods with warm breast and with bright wings." And that poem reminds us of the influence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. All of us have received that gift if we have been confirmed and received in confirmation the sevenfold gifts: piety, understanding, counsel, knowledge, wisdom, fortitude, and fear of the Lord. Now we look at what the Holy Spirit can do. We see the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles at Pentecost, changing the church from 11 frightened people hiding in the upper room out of fear, giving them these gifts that they would transform the face of the earth to the point that we have 1.4 billion believers across the globe. Beginning with the work of the apostles and their successors and their descendants and so many others who have spread the faith guided by the gift of the Holy Spirit. Over the altar of this Basilica Crypt Church, we have a beautiful image of the Holy Spirit over the place where the Eucharist is made present, where Christ is made present. And it reminds us of the role of the Holy Spirit in all that we do, touching us, influencing us, and sending us forth as the Spirit of truth and the Advocate.
Father Mullins was talking about the 11 scared people locked in that upper room. Pentecost first celebrated in that upper room. And in this homily highlight from Father Marcel Tyone at St. Thomas More Parish in Narragansett, Rhode Island, Pentecost is still happening today with the Holy Spirit at work in you and me.
So right now, the Holy Spirit is pouring out upon you, in your mind, your heart, and your soul. How do we celebrate this feast? What should we do? You and I need to call upon the Holy Spirit, who's the third person of the Trinity. Today we celebrate when the Trinity was finally completely revealed by Jesus. And Jesus promised that Pentecost, the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, will continue in the world until he returns in glory at the last judgment. So Jesus promised that. He left us in sight, but the Holy Spirit is now here with us. The love between God and his Father, Jesus and his Father, and that love between them in which we share. And so, what does the Holy Spirit do? He reveals to us Jesus. And how do we celebrate the Feast of Pentecost? We call upon that Holy Spirit so that we too, like Jesus, can pour out self-giving, sacrificial love every day of our lives, in every relationship, in every place that Jesus calls us to do that. And that's how we enter into this feast. You are a fountain. So let's, the Holy Spirit, fill you to overflowing today. Because the world out there is thirsty and dry and needs to know Jesus' love through your heart and through mine. Happy feast.
So imagine being in that upper room. You're one of the disciples. Do you go it alone? Do you stick together to share the news? To share the news and to share the gifts and the fruits of the Holy Spirit. It's the choice the disciples had to make and you and I have to do on this Monday after Pentecost in 2021. The focus of this homily highlight from Cardinal Timothy Dolan at 10:15 Mass at St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York City.
And they chose choice number two, stick together. They knew in the very fiber of their being that Jesus had formed them as a unity, as a communion, as a family. They kind of knew deep down, hey, we are in this sacred enterprise together. And that, of course, is the church, the church. So this is the birthday of the church. Thank God they made that choice, don't you think? Now listen up, everybody, because this is very pertinent today, those two choices. Go it alone or stick together. Well, on Pentecost Sunday, the birthday of the church, Mary and the apostles reply, he is present and alive and powerful in and through his church. And the chant began. The chant that we're going to take up in about 30 seconds. The chant began that Pentecost Sunday, I believe in God, the Father Almighty. I believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life. And I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. A blessed Pentecost, folks. Happy birthday to the church.
Homily highlights here at 3 before the hour on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Our spiritual director in the next hour is Father Burke Masters from the Diocese of Joliet. And we're going to ask you to fill in the blank because we've shared stories about the power of the Holy Spirit at work in your life. How would you fill in this blank? By the power of the Holy Spirit, what happened in your life by the power of the Holy Spirit? What was it about your life? What can you say? What are the miracles? What's the freedom that the Holy Spirit gave you? We'll share those stories coming up in the next hour, along with Timri Jaja from Trending with Timri. It's the 52nd anniversary of Humanae Vitae, and find out from the perspective of a young married couple how they are embracing this magnificent work of St. Pope Paul VI. We'll share that with you in the next hour of Morning Air here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. But right now it's time for today's Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today is called You're John Hancock.
Often when we ask for a person's signature, we call it their John Hancock. This is because of the 56 signatures on the Declaration of Independence, one stands out above the rest. That signature belongs to John Hancock. He was the first to sign the Declaration and signed it in a large and legible script so the King of England could read his name without using glasses. Mr. Hancock wanted it to be very clear where his allegiance lay. His commitment to his country was so clear when King George III offered amnesty to all who would cease fighting, John Hancock was among the select few who were left out of that offer. Is your signature let your king know of your dedication and commitment to him? From Joshua 24, 14 and 15, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and faithfulness. Put away the gods your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it's evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord."
Well, I'm thinking of the providential timing of that story corner on the Monday after Pentecost, because it's the signature of the Holy Spirit that's in all of our hearts and souls that we're sharing and going to talk about coming up in the next hour on Morning Air. By the way, if you want to hear today's story corner again, we've got the Glenn's Story Corner podcast. It's on our continuously updated Relevant Radio app. And if you have a story for Glenn, morningair@relevantradio.com. That's our email address, morningair@relevantradio.com. Boy, Glenn, I cannot tell you how great it was going to Mass this weekend and seeing so many of the faithful back. It was kind of like you woke up from a dream, and it was the way it was before the pandemic, and everybody was participating in the magnificent music. And it may be an unknown gift of the Holy Spirit. I actually sang on key. Of course, I had the mask on, which kind of helped and just gave me a little bit of false confidence, but it was a very special weekend. Time now is a minute before the hour now on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.